We now invite Brother Jason Ford to give his introduction.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. How are you? Good. We were told at kids camp that Wednesday is called Weepy Wednesday. So if you feel sad today because we've reached the middle of the week, it's okay. Everybody else feels sad about it too. All right. So today we have a few. I won't put my arm on there. I'm ready. So today we have a few things to just kind of talk about before we go straight into the discussion. You may have noticed that in today's discussion group, we are actually moving from section 1 of the workbook to section 2. So that's pretty neat. So we're going to start section 2, so you'll actually notice that the page numbers reset when we get to discussion group number 2. And we also get to talk about the most number of chapters today. So we are actually covering Exodus chapter 5 through Exodus chapter 11. That's pretty good. So in discussion group number 2, you basically get to cover all of your questions about the plagues that you've ever had in your life within an hour. Here we go. All right, chapter 1, right? This is really the introduction, discussion group 1. This is really the introduction of Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh and to this work of redemption, of bringing the people out. These are some of the things that I thought you might find useful. As far as the practical, we have 3 again, 1 expositional. Page 53, again, I think I'm 3 pages ahead of you, so you'll probably find it around page 50. The section, Let More Work Be Laid on the Men, question 8. So the question is, how do we avoid being enslaved by our jobs or by our school? You know, because we get this way, right? We say, oh, you know, I have to work on Sunday, or, oh, I can't go to Bible class because I have to work, that kind of thing, right? How do you create that mindset? What strategies have you found to create that mindset within you where you say, this is more important, and what, you know, this is the principle, and whatever the consequence is, well then, you know, we're going to deal with what the results are. But the principle is, I am going to be at Bible class, I'm going to be at meeting, and we're going to see how that goes. Okay, it's on the same page, and this might seem strange. It's questions 4 and 5, but it's actually a new section. So same page, page 50 probably for you. So the people were scattered abroad, questions 4 and 5. You get 2 in this one. Consider the manner in which a person should endure physical suffering. How do you help yourself focus on this when life is difficult? So really, the idea is we are told to rejoice in our trials, rejoice in our suffering, recognizing that God is working. How do you do that? So I think we can foster a really powerful discussion, just kind of talking with each other about, here's what I do when things are really hard, here's what I found to be successful, so that my prayers are prayers of thankfulness for the trials that I'm enduring. So how do you think about that? And, you know, you might find some of the things that we talked about in reference to God's vengeance and in all their affliction he was afflicted, you might find those some interesting things to consider. 2 pages further, so Moses returned to the Lord. Questions 1 and 2. Moses prayed. So, those of you who are at YCC, you might have some thoughts that could be very helpful to contribute about how do you create a healthy prayer life? So how do you make sure that you have time in which you pray every day? How do you make sure that your prayers are fervent? What strategies have you found? Right, so these are the practical ones. I think we can learn a lot from each other, and this is really the benefit that we have from this youth conference model, where we can share the strategies, share the exhortations, and the applications in our lives, and we can go from here and say, okay, here's how I'm going to be changed by what we talked about at youth conference. Here's what I'm going to do when I get home. Exposition, page 55, now you shall see what I will do. There's no question here in the workbook about this, but I think it's something profitable for discussion, so just kind of keep it in mind. The idea is, in Exodus 6, verse 3, that is the passage in which God says, I was not known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by my name of Yahweh, but by the name God Almighty. You might find it profitable to discuss that, talk about what that means, that he was known by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai, and why then he makes himself known as the name Yahweh at this point in time. So you might find that useful. And the big question here is, why does it matter, right? Well, I'll talk about it. Okay, discussion group number two. Here are the plagues. Starting again, I'm actually on the same page as you, I think. So pages 2 to 3, these two questions kind of cross over, 6a and b, in the section that you may know that I am Yahweh. It's really exciting, I think, to recognize links between different books of the Bible. And so this is kind of an addition to one of the questions that's in the workbook. The question's optional, but I kind of added on top of it. So if you read through Revelation 15 and 16, you may notice that there's a lot of connections to the Exodus. So in Revelation 15, you have the Song of Moses. Revelation 16, you have things like the water becoming blood, all of that. So a lot of similarities there. So the question then is, we essentially had modern day, as in, you know, starting in like 1789, modern day plagues happening in our time. So the stuff that happened to Egypt is not just something that was centuries and millennia ago. So therefore, since we see these things happening in our day, in recent history, what ways does an understanding of these plagues affect your life today, right? You know, a lot of times you may hear people say things like, oh, well, prophecy's not all that important because it doesn't actually affect my life. Well, that's wrong. And that's like essentially saying there's a big chunk of the Bible that doesn't matter, which is like totally outrageous. So if anybody ever says that to you, just look at them like dumbfounded, right? And just, you know, be like, what? Like that. And they can realize, wow, maybe I said something really crazy, right? Because like, how could you say that about part of the Bible? So this clearly, prophecy is important, and clearly it has to have an application to our life. So talk about then, how should Revelation 15 and 16 affect us today? How does that impact how you act, recognizing that these plagues are unfolding, and that at this point in time, we are in the time of the sixth vial in Revelation 16. All right, page 3, that you may know that I am Yahweh, question 6c. So I know, this was 6a and b, and this is 6c. So really, maybe they should be one question, but I want to bring out different ideas here. This is a question that I think you will find a lot of profit in discussing. What idols might you be clinging or returning to? The question references Ezekiel 14, which talks about having idols in your heart. So talk about that, right? It is a fact of life that we constantly return to idols. We talked about it 2 days ago, that Colossians 3 verse 5, covetousness, which is idolatry. If you sit there and you think, well, I don't have idols in my life, then I'm sorry, but you're probably lying. So, or just like, you know, deluding yourself. So think about this. What idols, what things are you putting in your life that have become so important that they are pushing God out, or that aren't even connected somehow to God, and therefore taking you away, right? There is one God. He demands all of us, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What do you have in your life that is taking that away from you? And this is the important part. What can you do when you return home in order to get those idols out of your life? Page 8, boils that break out in sores. Question A, B, C, and D. Let's talk a little bit about Aaron. His role changes, right? In the beginning, he's with Moses. As Moses seems to grow more confident, he kind of backs off a little bit. So what can we learn and apply to the way that we work in the ecclesia from Aaron's changing role? So you can discuss that. Finally, in the exposition, I think mine was in page 1. I don't know where your charts are, though. I think they might be a little further in. But you know that like awesomely huge chart about the plagues? I think you can find a lot to talk about on that, because it's like monstrous. Monstrous with all these cool details, and it really allows you to compare what's going on. So, that's the plan. Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, and then the plagues. We have about 5 minutes. Ready? All right. I think it'll be good.